Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, the first chapter. Luke chapter 1 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1070, 1070. Beginning with verse 5, we'll read responsively through verse 11. And then we'll turn to the next chapter and read a couple more verses. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Let's continue with the reading of verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And let's read chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We'll read these verses all together, verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2 of Luke. Let's read, ready? And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And let's pray. Father, we pray for your blessing upon the preaching of your word this morning. Many, many years of faithful preaching have gone on here at this location, behind this pulpit. We're praying that this morning that thou wouldst bless again with thy power and outpouring of thy spirit. Please help us. We know not how many more times we can meet like this until Jesus comes. We are praying that you'd make this day a very special day in the hearts of many. And so help each hearer, bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me say before I preach this morning, I told the fellows in the office a while ago, there are many different types of sermons I preach. For example, the sermon this morning will be nothing at all of the same type of the sermon tonight. And the Apostle Paul, for example, he said to Timothy, young preacher, he said, preach the word. In the same verse, he said, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now, there are four types of sermons the Apostle Paul told Peter, told Timothy to preach. He said, first, preach the word. And he said, I want you to reprove some and rebuke some. And as a pastor, it's sort of like a parent. You teach your children what they ought to learn. The next day, you take them, we used to call it, take them out behind the woodshed and apply the board of knowledge to a certain part of their anatomy. And that's the rebuking, and the punishment is as much a part of rearing a child as the teaching is. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, he said, now I want you to preach the word. And he said, I want you to do more than that. Sometimes you're going to have to rebuke. Sometimes reprove. Sometimes exhort. Now this morning's sermon is not my favorite kind of a sermon. But what I'm going to say is so necessary. It's not the kind of sermon you're going to walk home and say, boy, that was a great sermon. But it's the kind of sermon, if you'll do what I say, I promise you, it'll help you. I'm going to talk to you this morning as a pastor to his people to warn you, not with a bombastic sermon, but with one that we ought to have, and especially at this time of the year. I promise you this. More people, more Christians, have backslidden in the last 20 days than any other part of the year. I promise you that. I promise you. There are more backsliders in the churches of America this morning than any other time of the year. And I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk on this subject. It's backsliding time. It's backsliding time. Our Heavenly Father, bless me as I speak today. May I be a help to all of these who would hear, especially to our own dear people. Make it a time of warning, exhortation, loving exhortation. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is filled, and you'll have to listen carefully. I'm not going to use the tool of humor. As far as I know this morning, I'm going to talk to you sort of as a father would talk to his son or daughter. The Bible is filled with men who went into sin and backsliding. I'm not talking about the Judas Iscariots. I'm not talking about the Demases. I'm not talking about the doubting Thomases. I'm talking today about the great men of the Bible. For example, Noah took off his clothes, was naked, and got drunk. That's the great Noah. For example, Jonah, who preached the greatest revival in the history of mankind in Nineveh, became bitter, complained against God, and tragically backslid. For example, Moses. Moses, I think, the greatest man who ever lived apart from Jesus Christ. I'm talking about greatness in the sense of ability, leadership, and all of that. Moses, that great man, lost his temper, disobeyed God, smote the rock in Horeb twice, and lost his ticket to the Holy Land, and never got to enter into the Promised Land. It was such a great sin that that place to which he had been going for 40 years, now he was deprived of entrance. Don't miss it. Elijah. I mentioned Noah. I mentioned Jonah. I mentioned Moses. Elijah, the great Elijah, became discouraged, ran from Jezebel, the queen, and backslid, got on the juniper tree, and told God he wanted to die. David, the man after God's own heart. David, adultery with Bathsheba, and then murder of Uriah. I'm saying the great men of the Bible had lapses in times of serious backsliding. Abraham, the father of the faithful, the father of faith. Abraham, man that left the Ur of the Chaldees, another country near out in what now is Iraq, took off for parts he did not know because God told him to leave. Didn't tell him where to go, just told him to leave, and he left. Abraham fathered an illegitimate child. Can you believe it? All of these great men, Noah, drunk, nude, Jonah, bitter, backslidden, Moses, didn't get to go to the Promised Land, lost his temper, disobeyed God, Elijah, ran and wanted to die. David, adultery and murder. Abraham fathered an illegitimate child. Barnabas. What Barnabas? Barnabas split with the Apostle Paul. They had that a great first missionary journey. And Barnabas said, I'm not going to go unless you take John Mark. And Paul said, no, John Mark got scared and turned back on the first journey. We can't afford to have a quitter out with us the next time. And Barnabas said, look, he's my nephew. And he's going to go. And Paul said, no, he's not going to go. And Barnabas left the Apostle Paul, and Paul took Silas instead and did not take John Mark, and you don't hear anything about Barnabas much in the Bible after that. He backslid. Elimelech and Naomi backslid, destroyed their sons. Both their sons went astray, married heathen women. The sons died, and so forth. Now, all of these people, don't leave me now, all these people, sinned, and backslid. I sought for a common denominator. Hear me, hear me, hear me. I sought for a common denominator. What did these backsliders have in common? And I found it. Listen carefully. Please, no walking around. You're going to come to church, you sit here while I preach, and don't be walking out while I preach now. Just sit still. I got something to say. If I don't, let's all go home. If I do, let's all sit still and hear what I got to say. I sought for a common denominator, and I found it. Take Noah, for example. For 120 years, Noah had been building an ark. That means he went to work every day and came home every night. That means he kept on building and kept on building and kept on building. Now hear me carefully. The ark is finished. Noah no longer has the same lifestyle he had before. He has a change of lifestyle. Look at me. It was not until the ark was finished that Noah backslid. 120 years he didn't get drunk. 120 years he didn't get drunk and become a naked man. 120 years he didn't expose his nudity to his own sons. And now then he does. Why? A change of lifestyle. His routine was broken. His habits were broken. His regular schedule was broken. Take, for example, Jonah. The revival is over. No more services. Preaching is done for Nineveh. And he has a change of lifestyle all of a sudden. It was in that change, look at me, it was in that change of lifestyle where Jonah backslid, just like it was a change of lifestyle where Noah backslid. Take, for example, Moses. For 40 years, Moses had been doing the same thing, leading those Israelites and being their great man of God for 40 years. And all of a sudden, routine. Now the 40 years is over. They're going to go into the promised land. As soon as Noah lost his routine, he backslid. As soon as Jonah lost his routine, he backslid. And as soon as Moses finished what he had been doing for 40 long years, he backslid. Let's take, for example, Elimelech and Naomi. What happened to them? They moved. Didn't live in the same house anymore. Didn't live in the same country anymore. Didn't live in the same city anymore. They moved. A change of lifestyle. When that lifestyle changed, their boys fell in love with heathen women. They married heathen women. Both the boys died. Elimelech died. Naomi, you changed so much you wouldn't recognize her. What happened? They moved. A change of lifestyle. Take Elijah, for example. Or take Abraham. Same thing with Abraham. Abraham moved. Abraham would never have backslidden if he hadn't moved, but he moved, changed his lifestyle. Take, for example, Elijah. The battle is over. He's won the battle with King Ahab. He's prayed the fire down from God. Look at me and listen to me. I got something to tell you. He prayed the fire down and fought the battle. Now the battle is over. The fire has fallen. The people have said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Now then, he's changed his lifestyle. He's changed his routine. And then, he who could stand before the great prophets of Baal and the king himself and say, thou art the man, he now backslides and runs from woman, gets under the juniper tree, wants to die. Why? He changed his lifestyle. Now you listen to me. You be careful when your lifestyle is changed. That's when most of the backsliding takes place. You take, for example, Barnabas. For all those days, Barnabas and Paul had been on that first missionary journey. They'd gone to Cyprus. They'd gone to Derbe. They'd gone to Iconium. They'd gone to Antioch and Pisidia. They'd gone to Pamphylia. They'd established churches and gone to Lystra and established churches all over that part of the world. Now they come back. The journey's over. Missionary journey is over. What happens? Lifestyle is changed. And Barnabas backslides. In Jonah, Moses, Abraham, Noah, Elimelech, Naomi, Elijah, and Barnabas, they all backslid when they changed their lifestyle and their regular routine and regular schedule. David was a king. He also was the leader in battle. The battle was raging. You know the story. The battle was raging. David decided to take off and change his schedule. Listen to me. Change his schedule and change his lifestyle. I promise you, everybody in this room who's ever backslidden seriously did so at a time of change in your life. David did not go to battle. If David had gone to battle, he would never have committed the sin of Bathsheba. And if Jonah had kept on preaching, he would never have gotten bitter and backslidden. And if Moses could have kept on leading those Israelites, he never got mad and lost his temperance and would never have split in the rock twice and lost his ticket to the promised land. Hear me carefully. I know a preacher who for 10 years fought the most amazing battle of any preacher I know. He pastored a large American Baptist church, liberal denomination. He pulled that church out of the American Baptist Convention, and the wealthy people in his church turned against him. For 10 years he was in court. For 10 years he went through hell. And he fought, and he fought, and he fought, and he fought for 10 years and won the battle. The battle was over. He backslid, had resigned the church. What am I saying? You better listen to me. When you come to a place in your life or you change your lifestyle, you are in the most precarious days of your life. That's backsliding time, if you please. I pastored in Texas for years. I had a doctor there in my church in Texas. He was one of the best men I had. He was a deacon. He was the adult superintendent of our adult Sunday school department in those days. He was a wonderful doctor. I went to him time and time again. And faithful, loyal, separate, everything you ought to be. He and his wife are getting up in years. I'm talking about childbearing years. He was up around 40. And his wife surprisingly became pregnant. And they had a baby. And that baby was too good for our nursery. Now you listen, put your baby in the nursery and quit your griping. That baby was too good for our nursery. So what happened? The doctor's wife would stay home and take care of the baby. One service, the doctor would stay home and take care of the baby. The next service, he would come one service, she'd come the next. It wasn't 6 months till that doctor backslid, went downtown and joined the First Baptist Church of Garland, which was almost a liberal church and certainly not a fundamental church, and lost his testimony and backslid. Why? Change of lifestyle. A baby came. I could tell you case after case. I could point to 10 men right now. I will not, but I could. I could point to 10 men in this room today who have been fighting alcohol for years. I can tell you where it started. They were coming home from work and stopped some buddies at a tavern. Now look, fellas, when you get off work, go home. I said, go home. Say, what am I supposed to be, a little henpecked nobody? No, you're supposed to be a man who lives by schedule. That's what you're supposed to be. Go home. And by the way, drive by yourself instead of driving a bunch of people that won't take you by the tavern. I could name 10 men in this room today who are fighting a battle of their lives, trying to win the liquor battle, because they have stopped on the way home, gotten off the... My mother used to say to me, she said, son, she said, a straight line is the closest distance between two points, and you get out of school, she said, you come straight home. Don't you stop, you come straight home. Don't you play, you come straight home. Now you listen to me, you are not going to live for God the rest of your life unless you get yourself a disciplined schedule and live by it. If I listed the 10 best men that I had in Garland, Texas, I would list a man whose first name was Leon. Taught a Sunday school, adult Sunday school class. Was a deacon. Went soul winning. We had visitation every Thursday night. We were a neighborhood church. And we could all meet at the church and go out to visitation. Never missed. If I listed my 10 best men, Leon would be on that list. Leon lived in a little two-bedroom house with one bathroom with a rather large family. And Leon decided to change jobs. Hear me. He took a job selling insurance. I'm not against selling insurance, but it was a dangerous time in his life. So happened he was a good man. He worked his way up. When I left Texas, he was a good, godly man. He had just changed jobs. I got a letter about 10 years later. His wife said, Brother Hiles, pray for my husband. He's worked his way to the presidency of that insurance company. Are you listening? He's now the president of that insurance company. She said he is a vegetable. He's an alcoholic. He's on dope. He is absolutely a vegetable. Now listen, if Leon, one of the best men I ever pastored, can end up a vegetable alcoholic who can do nothing for God and out of church, it could happen to you. If Noah could backslide, you can. If Peter could backslide, you can. If Moses could backslide, you can. If David could backslide, you can. If Jonah could backslide, you can. And the best insurance you could ever take against backsliding is a routine and a schedule that tells you what to do and when to do it. Let me just put it this way. The greatest temptation I ever had to change was when I came to Hammond. I'd always been a fundamental nut. I'd always been the fellow and the pastor of the church across the tracks. But good, solid, common people like we are here this morning. All of a sudden, I came to Hammond, and the outgoing mayor of the city was on our board. The owner of this big department store over here was a faithful member of the church. Well, at least he came. And the president of the bank down here, Kmet Bank, was on the board of this church. And this church was the church of wealth in those days. And these rich men, they wined and dined me. They died, Dr. Peppered and dined me. But they weren't my kind. The church was American Baptist. I was tempted to stay in. Why? Because I changed churches. Let me remind you something. Be still. No leaving. Let me remind you of something. It was while Zechariah was going about his regular duties that the angel appeared to him. Zechariah didn't come and say, "Oh God, angel appear to me." He had no idea in the world an angel was going to appear. He was busy at his routine when the angel appeared. Let me remind you. Shepherds were going about their regular duties of watching their flocks. They didn't have a watch night party. We're looking forward for the watching of the coming of the Son of God. They were going about their duties, their regular routine duties, when the angel appeared and announced the coming of the Christ child. Let me remind you that Moses was busy taking care of the flock, the sheep, on the backside of the desert doing his job. But he looked and said, "Look at me, listen to me, I got something to tell you." When some of you folks, you're going to backslide, you're going to wonder whatever happened to yourself, I'll tell you what's going to cause it. You're going to get out of your regular schedule. Sometime when you change your regular routine of life, you're going to backslide, and that's the time you need to watch it the most. David never went to Hiles Anderson College and said, "I want to be king someday." David was busy taking care of the job that God, his father, had given him to do. When Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king, David was chosen, but David wasn't even there. What was David doing? He was busy doing his job. That's what he was doing. Some of you preacher boys waiting around for some pulpit guy to call you, I hope your phone never rings. That woman and I went down to East Texas years ago to go to East Texas Baptist College. Bless God, we didn't have a church. I didn't need a church. I'd get out in the woods somewhere. I'd go out in the woods in my old car, and I'd build me a brush arbor. And I'd get in the car and drive down the street and stop at every farmhouse and say, "I'm preaching down there tonight." And I'd go down there and preach. And I'd get me a fellow to play the accordion or something. And we'd have services. I didn't care about a pulpit committee. I don't need a pulpit committee. Just give me a pulpit. I'll build that. I'd preach. I'd go down to the city park, get me a little pulpit, go down to city park, stand up in the pavilion at the Marshall City Park and preach. I'd go down to Jacksonville, Texas and preach in their pavilion at their city park. Every Friday night I went to the tuberculosis sanitarium in Tyler, Texas. Had 32 wards. Every week I preached to every single one of those wards. I'm trying to tell you, if you want God to use you as a man of God someday, then you get busy right now doing something for God. I want to remind you that David was busy when Samuel came. I want to remind you when the angel came, the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and called Gideon to be the great general that he was. I want to remind you, he wasn't on his knees praying for God to lead him somewhere. He was busy threshing wheat. Let me remind you, when Philip was called to go to Gaza, rode to Gaza, he was busy preaching in Samaria, doing the thing that God had called him to do. So, okay, look out if you just graduated. It's backsliding time. Okay, look out if you just changed jobs. It's backsliding time. Okay, look out if you just moved to a new house. It's backsliding time. Okay, look out if you just came to college. You came to Howells Anderson College or First Baptist Church, you thought this was the end of your search for the perfect church. Well, I got news for you. Everybody that's in this section of the choir is human. And everybody in this section is human. Everybody but one in that section is human. She's an angel. And everybody's human here. And this guy right here is human. I want to tell you, look out. You just came to college. Look out. You can't be spiritual because you're sitting in these pews. You still got to have your Bible time. You still got to have your prayer time. You still got to have your soul winning time. I'm saying, look out if you just came to college. Okay, look out if you just lost a loved one. Anytime your routine, your schedule, regular schedule is changed, look out. Look out if you just got back from vacation. Look out if you dropped out of school. This area, listen carefully, this area is filled with couples who came to college here on fire for God, went to school, stayed on fire for God, dropped out of school, and now they're going to liberal churches and backslidden new ecumenical churches and new evangelical churches all over this area doing nothing for God, and even in some cases hate First Baptist Church and hate Howells Anderson College. What's the deal? They dropped out when they should have stayed in. That's what the deal is. Stay in your schedule. Stay in your routine. Keep your same lifestyle. Okay, you just got married. There's no hope for you. Let's go to the next point. You just got married. Now, I want to warn you, right after you get married, you change your lifestyle. Your pants can't be placed on the bedpost anymore. Well, there's nothing in the world irritates me anymore than that. What were bedposts for? God in heaven invented bedposts. And he said, thou shalt put thy pants on one post. Thou shalt put thy shirt on the other. And thou shalt put thine unmentionables on the other two. But you just got married. Oh, by the way, you say, preacher, you haven't gotten to me yet. I'm not a recent graduate. I haven't changed jobs. Haven't moved. Haven't just come to college. I haven't lost a loved one just recently. Haven't just gotten back from vacation. I haven't dropped out of school. I haven't gotten married. We don't have a new baby, and that's another time that's dangerous. Maybe if somebody here just had a holiday. Let's call it Christmas. And your routine has been changed. You better listen carefully. Listen carefully. You get back to that regular prayer time that you had before Christmas. And you get back to that regular Bible reading time that you had before Christmas. And you get back to that regular soul winning time that you had before Christmas. And you get back to that regular schedule that you had before Christmas. And you get back to saying, when 9:30 comes, I'll be at Sunday school. When 10:45 comes, I'll be at church on Sunday morning. When 7:30 comes, I'll be at church on Sunday, 7 o'clock on Sunday night. When 7:30 Wednesday night comes, I'll be at church. I'm trying to tell you, there is nothing under God's heaven that'll prevent you from backsliding, like living on a schedule, like living like a machine. You do this at the same time and that at the same time. Let me tell you, if Noah could get drunk and get nude because he would change his lifestyle and schedule, if Jonah could get bitter and backslide because he changed his lifetime and schedule, if Moses could smite the rock twice and lose his ticket to the Holy Land because he got off schedule, and if Elijah could run and want to die and run from a woman because he got off schedule, and if David could commit adultery and murder a fella because he got off schedule, and if Abraham could father an illegitimate child because he got off schedule, and if Barnabas could split with Paul because he got off schedule, and Elimelech and Naomi could ruin their sons, and Abraham could father a child because they moved, I want to tell you, there's not a single person in this room this morning that has an inoculation against backsliding.
It could happen to you. In the New Testament, when God described Noah, he called him a preacher of righteousness. When God described Abraham, he called him the father of the faithful. When God described Moses, he called him his servant. When God described David, he called him a man after God's own heart. I reckon if that great list of heroes, that great list of giants in the Bible, I reckon if they could lose their schedule and change their lifestyle, I reckon you better watch it. Now you listen carefully to me. Christmas is over. Now let's quit it. Take your stupid decorations down. These are not called groundhog decorations. They're Christmas decorations. I'm tired of looking at them. Take your, if you're going to leave them up, turn them off at night. I don't want to drive by and see them. I mean, go ahead and take your shirt back and exchange it for a pair of socks. Get it all done. All of it. And get back to your regular schedule or routine. I'm talking to people in this room right now. Listen carefully. 2 minutes, I'm through. I don't know who you are, but I'm talking to deacons right now in this room. And one of these days, actually, I could read you a list of men that served on our deacon board whose lives have been wrecked and ruined. I could take you to alcoholics that once were deacons here. I can take you to men married to their third wife since they were deacons and once were deacons here. I can take you to men who are dope heads. I can take you to a deacon who decided to trade wives with another man and they swapped. I mean, he said, I'll give you my wife, you give me yours. I've seen them both. One fellow should have given him a second round draft choice, or player by name later or something, a wife by name later or something. Now, you listen. Over the house, I like to sleep in. I do too, but don't ever do it. You teenagers, get yourself a schedule. My Bible said it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. It's good for a teenager to have schedule and live by it and work and sweat and toil. I'm through, but I brought this message because of Christmas being over and the holidays being over. I just want to remind you that greater Christians than you have committed worse sins than you ever committed. And you are eligible. The devil is after you. And the way he'll get you is to get you off of a routine, off of a schedule, and change your lifestyle. Would you bow your heads, please?